everyone. Welcome to this week's Podcast Insider. This is week of July 29th. Welcome to the show. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good. A little extra cranky today, so if I say something stupid, just let me know.
Cranky, but you know, we got to show off this new camera of yours. Talk about this camera you got.
Yeah, I got one of those Elgato face cams, and before I was using, I don't know, what the C920 or something like that, but
yeah,
this thing, it really has upped the game, I think.
Well, for those of you that are listening, Mike looks really good. I've got him full centered. He can't see that he's full centered, but yeah, this thing is nice. That's a nice, really nice camera.
It has a lack of a couple of features, which I really like. It has no microphone built into it,
beautiful,
which is awesome for a podcaster and wants to do live, because you're going to have a decent mic.
Right.
Second off, it doesn't have autofocus. It's fixed focus. So fixed it's focus. It's not going to be searching, you know,
it's not going to be doing in and out, trying to focus on something behind you or something to that effect.
Right. So, and it's a awesome, much bigger sensor, and it has a lens cap, which is unique to a webcam. So, you know, most people use black electrical tape.
Yeah, but this one's actually got a pop-on lens cap. So it's nice. So, again, it's by Elgato. It was announced last week. I've got one on my computer. I bought one for my computer at home as well for my future days when I have Starlink and I can actually work from home without having
internet. That'll be nice.
Yeah, it will. But I tell you what, we've got a good lineup of stuff for today. We've got some news to talk about. We've got best practices, and this is a really important one. We got Blueberry News. We've got a Blueberry Pro tip. We don't have an interview this week, but we do have a question of the week. I guess we'll get right into the topics, Mike. The first thing up is Spotify opens their premium podcasting service to some publishers and platforms,
right,
which is an interesting way that they're going about this again.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of how they onboarded podcasts in the first place. You know, at first it was an exclusive to two or three platforms, and then they grew it out from there, and then at the end they just let people go direct. So
right.
I don't know what their plan is here, but it looks familiar.
Looks very familiar, and a bunch of companies have jumped in with all feet saying, yep, we're going to allow a premium gateway into, you can go via Anchor and do premium, or you can go through one of these launch partners and do premium. And it's a little shaky on how it works, but, you know, basically they're saying we're not going to charge anything for the first 2 years. But here's the problem I foresee, and this is just my hypothesis on this, is that, okay, so let's say you sign up with a service. Now, let's say Blueberry at some point does this, allows you to have premium content on Spotify's platform. At the end of those 2 years, Spotify is going to want their piece of money. And they're going to say, okay, Blueberry, we're going to charge you 5%, let's say. And then whatever Blueberry charges for its service is going to be taken out. And then the podcaster is left with what's remaining. And in the end, the podcaster gets screwed because, and maybe for the first 2 years, it's good.
Well, and but what I was wondering, and this just came into my head here, but say you're on Glow FM, okay, and they have a payment processing and they have all that built into Glow.fm, okay? What happens? Are they just allowing that to be played on Spotify, or is Spotify going to be taking the money?
There's some sort of transaction that happens. That is yet to be really seen how that transaction, if Spotify is going to collect the money and send it to Glow, or minus credit card processing fees, we don't know yet. But to me, what I think they're going to do is they're just priming the pump with all these companies like they did when they onboarded podcasts. And then
get as much in there.
Just trying to build the hype as quick as we can and then pull a fast one underneath all those companies that spend all that API time and say, oh, by the way, podcasters, you can just come over here to the Spotify interface like you did the podcast interface. And just add your content there, and don't worry, we're not going to charge you anything for 2 years. And then they undercut all these other companies. I think it's a big risk by those companies to do this. So
and, you know, we'll, a lot of people say that, you know, Apple's taking too big of a cut, and they might be. But if they get if you get more traction on Apple, that might be the way to go. But you know, as we've said before, though, be careful what you sign up for, because that's you know it's you know when you're charging for something, you got to deliver it.
But here's the thing you can also remember, those of you that are Blueberry podcasters, those of you that use Blueberry and PowerPress, are you WordPress plus PowerPress? You have two options with Blueberry. You have one, you can set up a membership plugin from one of the list of membership plugins that work with PowerPress.
Which is most of them.
You set up Stripe or PayPal or whoever you want for your payment processor. And you pay whatever that percentage is to those payment processors, and then you keep 100% of the rest. And or you sign up for private podcasting with Blueberry, and we just charge you the flat rate for the service, and then you do the same way. Yeah, if you, you don't want...
You deal with the billing yourself, and you keep it all.
And you keep it all. Now, here's the... And what I think is, why would you, if you're building your brand on your .com and your audience has been trained to where to go to get your content, why should you send them, maybe it's just easier to send them to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, but why not send them to your .com and you have the direct, you get number one, when they're on Apple, you don't get the, you don't know who's paid for that subscription.
Right.
So you have a direct relationship with the
customer,
with the customer. You can add them to your email list. So you got to be careful where you put premium. If you're going to do premium, do it on your .com and build your brand around that. It's fully possible to do that with, again, a membership plugin that works with PowerPress. Or number two, if you're not using WordPress PowerPress and you want private podcasting, then you can do that through our private podcasting.
We've had that for, what, about a year now?
Yeah, private slash premium is what it will do. Again, we don't do money collection. We just provide the security for the content so and the app.
We make the tool.
And here's the thing. You have an app, have custom logins, you have a public web app. I mean, it's really the best of both worlds. And at the lowest security level, they still can use Apple Podcasts through a username password authentication. So don't get lured in by a service that you're going to have to pay X number of dollars to be using their platform. And then maybe 2 years from now, Spotify adds some more service charge fees. And all of a sudden, you're ended up with pennies on the dollar as compared to having done it on your own website. That's what I really take away from this news. And that's what we're going to be sharing at Podcast Movement is we're going to be, you know, if people come up and ask about this, this is the you know, what we're going to tell them, because we want you to do it the right way out of the gate. I'm not saying having that content over on Apple Podcasts is not a problem, but you can do both.
Yeah, you don't have to be stuck at one place. And,
right.
And if you do it yourself through WordPress, PowerPress, there's lots of apps.
Lots.
That will take a password authentication.
Yep.
And, you know, so if someone uses Overcast, it works fine. Downcast, you know, all the different ones. And like I said, you're not limiting your listeners, potential listeners, to just one app.
Yeah.
So
anyway, that's what's going on there. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. We'll have more about this. Descript has released Studio for Sound. It's in beta. And basically, it looks like it's a just basically removes noise, enhanced speech.
Yeah, it does it a lot better though than a lot of the other things I've tried. It looks really, really good. I watched the demo video. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. But it seems impressive. You know, the guy was recording, but I think it's all done post processing. It's not real time. But
it's expensive though.
Oh
it's
yeah,
$12 a month.
Yeah,
there is a free version, but you can only do 3 hours of does video too, it looks like, maybe.
Yeah, well, it'll do video. It extracts the video out, or the audio out, processes it, puts it back. So
it puts a watermark on it as well. So, you know, I use Aphonic. I still use that. I use the software version of Aphonic. I paid for it many years ago, and I continue to use it. It's a one-and-done payment, not reoccurring.
Yeah, that helps a lot with, you know, like you and I, when we were recording, say we had to use your backup recording.
Right.
You might be at a lower level or higher level than I am. And
yep.
And Aphonic just, you know, cleans that right up. And and makes us all sound, you know, the same levels, which is really nice. So it's like the old, what was that one from Conversations Network?
Oh, it was Levelator.
Levelator.
Years ago.
But yeah, this is a way updated one.
Yeah, the Levelator didn't set what's called the LUFS, L-U-F-S, and at least at the level we wanted them at. And but now, Ophonic just handles it brilliantly. It really, really does. So anyway, that's the script, Sound Studio in Beta. Check it out. And also, wow, FeedBurner never goes away, Mike. The major change is coming to FeedBurner.
We've been predicting its demise for a good 10 years now.
And then Google decided to go ahead and actually spend some dev hours and update it, it looks like.
Yep. So they're moving to a completely new infrastructure, which I don't know what that means exactly, but you know, they've done that with Google Voice and a few other older apps that they've updated, and it works. One thing, though, they're not going to handle email subscribers anymore. That's not part of the new FeedBurner. So if you're using that, make sure you get your email subscribers out of there before the switch sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. So that move is coming. And if you had an account on FeedBurner, you've gotten the email. Well, I'm going to tell you, it seems like these new services that launch, they just never do any own research. But Fireside Chat, not the podcast host Fireside, but Fireside Chat, the app that is backed by Mark Cuban, has some absolutely crazy terms of service. And the unusual clauses. So this is insane. Now, this is as of, I guess, July 16th.
Yeah, so they may have changed something, or maybe they will.
So listen to this. Don't go advertising your company, podcast, or consulting business on Fireside. By uploading content, you hereby will grant Fireside and its affiliate companies a non-exclusive worldwide royalty fee, fully paid up, transfer, sub-license, still perpetual, irrevocable license to copy, display, upload, perform, distribute, store, modify, create derivative works, and other uses of your user content in conjunction with the operation of the service or promotion, advertising, or marketing thereof in any form. You agree not to use the service to email or otherwise upload any content that constitutes unsolicited, unauthorized advertising, promotional materials, commercial activities, and or sales, advertiser, or offer sell or buy any goods or services for any business purpose that is not specifically authorized. So you can't go over there and do any business functions on. You can only talk.
Yeah, it's not, you know, you go over there and hey, I'm a consultant, blah, 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 sign up for my stuff, you're in trouble.
So if you they know. Like your creator works, then they can copy your idea. Unless we have executed a separate written agreement with you, nothing shall restrict Fireside from developing or creating any products or service that may be competitive with or similar to your submissions or any creator's works. Wow.
They can steal your ideas and you can't take them to court.
If you use Fireside, we can sell your recordings. If you like it and don't get any money, that's what you hereby agree and acknowledge that Fireside and associated parties may use the recordings, including your name and likeness, for any commercial, non-commercial purpose, including creative NFTs, including to use pre-produced, distribute, license to others in accordance with Fireside's terms of service. This just goes on and on and on and on. You release them from any liability. You
agree to arbitration and not court.
You can't take them. You can't take us to court. You agree that any and all disputes or claims that have been arisen or arise between you and Fireside shall be resolved exclusively through final and binding attribution rather than a court. You agree you and Fireside are each waiving your right to a trial by a jury or to state in a class action. Your rights will be determined by a neutral arbitrator and not a judge or jury. So you can't even take them to court.
Yeah, it's crazy.
My God. Yeah, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, James Cridlin went through and analyzed a lot of that. So some of his comments are kind of fun in there, too. I'll put a link to that.
Why would you use a service that could do all that as a podcaster that can steal, copy, sell?
Again, this isn't really podcasting, though. That's the other thing. It, you may be able to create a podcast from it, but
yeah,
this is social audio. This is just another version of Clubhouse.
And we'll see them at Podcast Movement. They spent a bunch of money in there, so.
Yeah.
It's an interesting move, but their terms of service is Well, I hope they leave their terms of service just like they are.
Well, you know, you remember, you know, Anchor's terms of service changed an awful lot over the years. And I think if they get enough pressure, this may change.
Yeah, it probably will as well. But. So there's a new service out there called PodSauce. What is that?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. It's from Odyssey, which is the new name of, you know, Stitcher and a bunch of other companies that all come together. But they came out with a thing called PodSauce, which is a podcast discovery show.
Oh,
so they're doing an actual show. Yeah, audio and video. So
that's news?
Yep, that's news. Well, okay. You know, slow news week. But, you know, so they're going to do a one-minute one that's going to be on 235 radio stations. So they'll recommend a show. And then they're also going to have a longer version that they're going to put out as a podcast.
Sounds like a self-promotion vehicle for their shows.
Sure, but absolutely. I like the name. So
this is kind of a, you know, podcasters oftentimes launch the shows without even really doing any research about the name of it. And Shattered Glass, which was an actual indie podcast.
Yeah, it still is.
Still is. But another more, how should we say it, a more celebrity-driven show that used the same name.
It was Kristen Bell.
They got a C&D letter from the indie podcaster saying, hey, you have infringed on our podcast name. And the host of the original Shattered Glass took legal action against them. And so it's now called the, what's it being called?
Brought to you by or something like that. It's kind of a silly name. I can't find it in the article right now. But anyway, they did change the name of it after a couple episodes.
Oh, yeah. The show is now called We Are Supported By.
There we go. I knew it was something like that.
Yeah. But so that's interesting. I think this is the first time. Shattered Glass has been used on a podcast hosted by Marita Gareta and Monica Hirschberger and Jessica Kaminsky since 2007. It too tells women's stories of shattering the glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
In an open letter posted on their website, the trio said they attempted to reach the team behind the Armchair Expert show, including on social media, but unsuccessful. They decided to send the cease and desist after the Bell and Padman show acknowledged the other program the same name on their second episode, encouraged others to start a podcast with the same name. Oh, yeah,
they were getting real snotty about it at first.
So, not only was a beloved celebrity taking her name, she is rallying her followers to further dilute the brand we'd worked for years to build. This is what prompted our C&D, not the desire to make enemies, nor not for the revenge of pettiness, but for the need to protect our hard work. In order to honor our work, to stand up for years of research and marketing, booking, and broadcasting, creation of labor, we need to protect Shattered Glass and try to keep the brand as our own. So right. I'm very particular, too, about our brand and our trademarks and our service marks.
We have to be.
We are very protective of that because, you know, it is one of those things that either you protect it or you lose it. It's the same thing with trademarks.
Yep.
So a service mark costs about $300.
Yeah, that's that plus whatever your lawyer will charge
you. You don't have to have a trademark. You have to have a service mark.
Right.
And you actually can do an online application. It's not difficult.
Oh, nice.
So protect your show if it's valuable to you and if you don't want someone else using the name. And if you are the first, you're great. You're good to go. But if you're second, you're at risk. All right, let's move on here to something very, very positive. It's about best practices. It's about calls to action.
Yeah, I didn't put a lot of notes in here. I figure you and I have enough information here, but you can put them anywhere in your show you want. But, you know, what would be the best place in your opinion, Todd?
Well, I put them at the beginning of my show and at the end. I put them two places. I ask people to follow or subscribe. I give them my email address. I tell them where the show's located. I give them very clear, distinct. It's for a new listener. The existing listener's like, oh, brother, he's saying this again. But I get through it in like 15 seconds. I get through it real quick. Just like on this show, at the end, we say, go over to podcastinsider.com. Make sure you follow or subscribe to the show. We talk about if you have comments about this show, send it to Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com, blueberry without the East, because we couldn't afford the East. Those are call to actions. These are things that we tell our audience to do. I also do call to actions of a more different nature as well. And we've done that a few times on this show. We've asked you, the listener, to respond to commentary that we've had on the show, asking you, what do you think? Drop us an email. So that is a way to, when you directly ask or direct your audience, if you direct them to do a Apple Podcast review, if you direct them to follow or subscribe, you know, those are all call to actions. Mike, what, you know, where does it fall in for you?
It depends on the subject. Sometimes I don't even do a call to action other than subscribe. And of course, I always tell people where they can find the show if I disappear from the platform they're listening on. And, you know, but it's random for me, but I'm pretty random with my show. Mostly at the end, usually it's on the way out. I'll say something about, you know, yeah, make sure you subscribe, follow, that kind of thing. And, you know, there's other calls to action, like Todd was talking about, you know, like in the middle, we'll talk about something and say, what do you think? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is a small call to action to get you to, you know, contact us. Yeah.
And again, I think it's really important that you do this in your podcast. I have, for my show, I've been using a little text file for years with basically it's my rundown at the beginning of the show. I go through the same sequence. I say some of the same things, change the date, change the, you know, the day, change some of the lead stories. But I always tell them, you know, where to go to support the sponsor. Where to support the show financially, where new listeners can learn to follow or subscribe. I tell them where they can go for the chat room. I tell them how to email the show. They tell them where I'm at on social. It's boom, 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 boom. And I'm through that. And again, go to the website. Same information is on the website. So if you heard it and forgot it and, you know that maybe at least in your ear it's triggered. Oh, yeah, I can go to the website. There's still a link to his email. There's a link to social. And you'd be amazed how many podcasters' websites you go to. You can't find an email address.
Or a feed address.
Feed. You can't find their Apple Podcast link. It's or Google Podcasts or subscribe on Android. It's like buried on page 82. They think people are going to find stuff just by miraculous, you know, conception, I guess, is that, if that's the term to use.
Well, when I say mine's random is, you know, sometimes, like, I listen to a lot of podcasts and, you know, like your Geek News Central, I can tell when you're about to actually start the content. So If I'm in a hurry, I can rush through all your calls to action.
That's right.
And but they don't change, and I've heard them before.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got it by redundancy. With me, they never know what I'm going to say when. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but...
You know. I think it's good too, and I remind people throughout the show if you're like Mike and just listen to your show or my show, and he knows for the first 3 or 4 minutes I'm going to banter, and he hits that fast forward 30 seconds 4 or 5 times and gets ahead, then somewhere during the show I'm going to drop it in again. I'm going to be like, "Hey, make sure you support the sponsor. Hey, make sure you subscribe to the podcast." You know, and I'll do that randomly with these little mini call to actions, and it's amazing how many times. I really put it to my audience. I'm like, it's for controversial type topics. I don't play devil's advocate, but I tell them my opinion. I'm like, am I wrong? Am I right? Do you think and again, that is almost in itself its own call to action. And
controversy can be a good way to spur people do stuff.
I love it when someone emails a show and is critical of the content because that gets read right at the top. That goes headline because then. What it is you have that just gets the, you know, the listeners like, well, he can't say that. And they come back with their own comments. So, or sometimes it's a valid criticism and I'll admit to it in the show and say, yeah, this is, you know, thank you for your suggestion. I'm right. I'm doing this too much or that, or you're sick of hearing this. And, you know, if you said it, 100 other people are thinking the same thing.
But yeah, well, like I said, with calls to action, it's good that it's important that you put them in there. Where you put them is probably pretty up to you. Definitely at the end and probably at the beginning as well. You know, I think that's usually a pretty good formula.
Yeah. So, Mike, what's going on with Blueberry? What's the news out of the HQ?
Yeah, not too much, really, this week, but we got a blog post. And also, next week, there's not going to be any live show that we know of. Somebody's going to be. Yeah, anyway. We're going to try to do the episode from the booth at Podcast Movement. So, probably be a shorter, just kind of a little wrap up what's going on, if anything big's going on. And we'll probably get Mackenzie and maybe some passerbys on there. Who knows? So, bringing the portable setup.
I'm going to try to do some like short video clips that we send to Cho, and she can post on social, kind of keep those of you that aren't at Podcast Movement updated on what we're doing and how things are going. And I don't know if that's going to go in our TikTok account and I think that's almost ready, or if it's going to go on our Twitter feed or Instagram or where it's going to go. So we'll go continue to have a little fun.
Oh yeah, we'll keep some content going. So be sure to follow us on all the social medias.
That's right,
the social meds, as somebody used to say.
So there's, you know, Mike, when you and I were active duty in the military, there was a lot of jargon words.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There was an acronym for everything.
Oh yeah,
TDY, TAD. You know, just SSP, you know, there's all these words that if I say them, you probably know exactly what they mean. But the average person is like, what are you? It's like, are you guys talking a foreign language? Yeah. Because you never wanted to say temporary assigned duty. It was just easier to say TAD.
Yeah.
So in podcasting, we've got our own bit of jargon too, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Tony wrote up a bunch of them, and I can think of some more to add to that list. But, it's terms you should know as a podcaster, and some advertising terms, such as, click-through rate, what does that mean? Cost per click, or what do CPM, we call CPM, CPA. CPA, that kind of thing. Yeah. Cost per acquisition, CPA.
So it's a whole article about podcast words you should know.
Yes.
And if you're getting ready to go to Podcast Movement, this would be a great prepper article too. When you're sitting through sessions and people are saying, certain terms.
Yeah.
And maybe at some point, Mike, you and I can go through there and look at that list and say, is there anything that we need to talk about here on the show? But
I was thinking about that for best practice, but Tony beat me to it. So.
Oh, he did. Okay. Well, that's cool. So that link will be in the show notes. It's on podcastinsider.com, where you can go and actually find that. But we'll have the link in the show notes that'll be found on podcastinsider.com.
Yes.
Another thing too is very soon we're going to add a mailing list option on the Podcaster Insider website. So I'm going to try to get that on here before we leave for Podcast Movement, but people will be able to sign up for periodic. If you're not already on our mailing list, you'll be able to get added to it.
It's a Blueberry mailing list.
Yeah, it's a Blueberry company one. It would be, for everything going on Blueberry. But if you're already on the Blueberry newsletter list, you don't have to sign up for it. We got you covered. We got a Blueberry pro tip this time by Kate's, and this one is a good one.
Yes, very good. We've covered this before on the show, obviously, but Kate's spin on it's going to be pretty good, I'm sure.
Yep, and it's the tip that she's going to share with you is, do you own your own content? So we're going to go ahead and kick to that tip, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Kate from Blueberry Pro Productions, and the big question for today is, who owns your podcast? I mean, who really owns your podcast? That answer depends on where your show is hosted. If you choose to use any number of different hosting companies, FeedBurner, SoundCloud, Libsyn, what you're going to find is that your RSS URL will say, we're going to use SoundCloud, for example. The URL to get to your show is owned by SoundCloud. The RSS is owned by SoundCloud. So your URL will be feeds.soundcloud.com/users/SoundCloud:, your user identification number, and that will lead to your podcast. So what happens if SoundCloud goes down, or if Libsyn goes down, or if FeedBurner or any number of other podcast hosting companies goes down, your show vanishes. The Blueberry way is having it live on your own website. Now, you can redirect your feed. Most podcast hosting companies promise to help you do exactly that. Yes, iTunes new feed URL exists, and yes, mirror URLs are a thing. But what's better than redirecting your old podcast feed URL to a new podcast feed URL? Never having to do that. This is why we strongly recommend that you host your RSS feed on your website. Large companies, This American Life, Serial, How Stuff Works, all live on their own websites. It's feed.thisamericanlife.org/podcast. That way, you're hosting your own RSS feed. Nothing can take that RSS feed away from you. You own the website, you own the domain, you own the RSS feed, and you are not dependent upon a third party to maintain that feed. The second thing about owning your own content. Many of our clients have been approached by networks, and I'm using air quotes when I use the term network. They want you to pay to join a network and move your RSS feed underneath their banner on whatever hosting company they are using to set up their podcast network. This means you no longer own your show. And many, not all, but 99% of these podcast networks use your show to leverage advertising for their pocketbook. So you're not getting a lot of value out of joining a network. You could get a lot of value out of starting your own network. And if you want help doing that, we're happy to help you do it. But you want to maintain control over your RSS feed and your show relative to advertisers, because you could wind up with advertisers that are not value aligned with your brand. And that does more damage than it does good. We've also rescued several podcasts from podcast networks and brought them into their own website and their own RSS feed so that they completely own their content. And extricating a show from a network is often a very painful and long ordeal. Best to be avoided, best to own your own content, best to own your own RSS feed. People will tell you that WordPress isn't compatible with a lot of things, that PowerPress doesn't work with a lot of things, that your website won't have the bandwidth to handle all of the downloads. None of these things are true. None of these things are true. Setting up your website on WordPress to host your RSS feed gives you complete ownership and complete control over your show. That's the Blueberry way. We want you to own all of your intellectual property. We want you to reap the benefits of your intellectual property and not be held hostage by a third-party hosting company or a network. So that's the tip for today. Who owns your content? If it isn't 100% you, then your content is owned by a third party.
We want to thank Kate from the Blueberry Pro team for putting that together. BlueberryPro.com is the site, BLUBRRY, pro.com. Check it out. The team over there does a great job in producing and getting shows launched. And the Blueberry Pro team edits this show, makes us sound smarter than we are. So we definitely appreciate it when they do that. So there's no interview this week. And if you do want to be interviewed for this show and have your interview heard, it's a great way to get some exposure. And all of our podcasters that interviewed always say they pick up some listeners, but some people find interest in our content. So you can either email Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie, TODD, MIKE, or MACKENZIE at blueberry.com. And
public spelling, Todd.
That's right. We want to make sure you got that information, and we want you to participate and get some exposure for your show. All Blueberry hosting customers, this is open to you to be on our interview of the week. But we do have a question of the week.
Which ironically ties in.
That's interesting. I didn't even notice that. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So the question I got was, and I get this every now and again, what is the best way to build my email list? Well, have a company with a bunch of customers. That's one, but that's not the way I would say. In my opinion, the best way is to ask your listeners, you know, in your show's call to action, see best practices. But, you know, make sure you have an easy to find sign up on your website, not necessarily a pop-up, pop-under, slider, or anything like that. You know, some say they work, but, you know, my contention, and I'm sure you're the same, Todd, you see a pop-up that you can't get rid of, what do?
I close the tab.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, yeah, they may work, but I'll bet you for every one that it works for, there's at least one, maybe two, that left because of the pop-up. So I don't recommend those.
And, you know, and that's probably a whole topic in itself, but just remember, on those pop-ups, and this is the only advice I'm going to give you because I know a lot of you run them. If I don't know you and I find your show and you slam me with a pop-up right in my face when I've been on your website about 3 seconds asking me to sign up for your mailing list.
Yeah.
How many mailing lists do you get added to, Mike, that without permission?
Oh, all the time, because, you know, it seems to me a lot of podcasters that I work with, you know, assume, I've got his email, boom, and now I'm on the list. And, you know, yes, you know, I love to talk to you when you need to talk about something podcast related, but I don't want to read your newsletter most of the time.
Right.
You know, I'm not interested in this topic that you're podcasting about. Not that I'm not interested in your podcast. I'm just not interested in that topic. And as Todd said, you come to a website, you don't know the person, you want to read about it. And then maybe later, you know, if I'm reading about you and say, oh, this sounds interesting, I might want to sign up for this list. Mm-hmm. But if it's in my face, I'm going to leave.
It irritates me too. Yeah. And maybe I'm old school, but, you know, having run the podcast awards, which nominations are closing in 2 days, the amount of lists I get added to every year, I keep track. And there's about well over 100.
Oh,
and
easy.
when I unsubscribe from those lists, because I unsubscribe from every one of them, I mark on that unsubscribe form that I did not sign up for this list. I got added to it. So that's the worst thing you can do is physically add someone to a mailing list that hasn't given you permission to do so. So if you're going to, and I believe in having an opt-in ability for you to sign up for a mailing list if you're interested enough and want to hear communications from us. And we have a huge open rate on our newsletter that we send. It's in the high 60s, almost 70% open rate, which is a massive open rate for a mailing that goes out to nearly 70,000 podcasters. I think that when you opt in and you're expecting it, you want to see it.
Sure.
And when you have been added to a list and you're not expecting it, you're like, what is this? And your tendency is to reach up and hit the spam button. But most of those mailing list services do not allow you to add someone unless you have a business relationship with them. There's specific
rules.
Or
they've double opt-in, you know.
Yeah, or double opt-in, right. Yeah. And so we definitely think that building a mailing list is important if you want to communicate over time and build that. But again, making sure it's you have an easy to find sign up on your website, maybe in the sidebar or on a separate page. You know, you could even is your.com/mail.
Yeah.
Your mailing list.
And remember, we're an audio, mostly, audio media. And so ask your audience.
Yep. And tell them where to go specifically. Yeah. You know, give them, again, it's that call to action task. Mm-hmm. Is give them direct instructions. This is where you go to sign up for the mailing list. Mm-hmm. And just like us, if you've got a question, we tell you to drop an email to Mike.
Yep.
It's not something you want us to answer on the air, just like this Q&A. You can email Mike at blueberry.com, and Mike will put that into consideration for the question of the week. Mm-hmm. It really is distinct, and we're trying to keep things focused and not waste people's time, but yeah, those pop-ups. Get ready to leave a website and it pops up.
Yeah, I love that. You move the mouse towards the close button.
And it pops up.
Yeah.
So have you ever been annoyed by a pop-up? It's like, you get on a site and you're just trying to figure out who or what this site's about or what the show's about or you know, want to read some content. And it's like, hey, sign up for my mailing list so I can spam you with my offers and everything like that. Let's have a relationship first. Let's develop. Let me get on your website and read and say, and see what's on your website. Sample your show and say, wow, great stuff. I want to be part of this community. There's the mailing list. Sign up. Then that is an engaged, bought and sold listener that is going to be more valuable than someone that you're just trying to grab on the way out.
Flat numbers. Your open rate's going to be lousy. Your you know, people, and spam, if you have calls to action in the email, you know, they're not going to work as well on somebody that, okay, just get this thing out of the way. Yep. I want to sign up.
Yep.
You know, so just be careful with that. Yep. You know, ask your audience. And
everyone that has a funnel is going to tell you you need a pop-up on your website. That's the e-marketers, internet marketers' dream is the pop-up.
I don't need no funnel.
You know, we were on a podcaster's website on blueberry.net, one of our free posts, and they have a big pop-up on their page, but they have to because they are a university,
right,
and they have to say, hey, you know, you're on here. Do you understand how you want us to communicate with you, blah, blah, blah. But it's because of compliance things, because they're a university. So some sites have to have. And in the UK, many times you'll get a pop-up saying, hey, do you want to be tracked because of GDPR?
The cookie notice is kind of a pop-up. Yep. It's not really a pop-up. It's kind of at the bottom slider. And that wouldn't be that annoying if someone had a pop-up slider at the bottom of the page.
Yep.
But I don't want it to block what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and like I said, it's a little presumptuous of you to want me to sign up if I don't know you.
Yep, I agree. All right, so again, you've got a question you'd like us to answer, so drop an email to mike@blueberry.com, audio, text, or video. We may use it. Of course, the best place for support. Let me say that again. The best place for support with any Blueberry product or services or ticket system at blueberry.com/support. Tickets give the whole team access rather than a direct email or call. Of course, if you want a 30-day free trial of Blueberry Podcasting, you use the promo code INSIDER, again, for a free month at blueberry.com. And so this is about all we have. We have, Mike, you set through one of our, well, I guess we can say what it is.
Yeah.
We set through our onboarding review today, our new onboarding system, right?
Oh, yeah. We got a full demo and broke it three different ways, and that's what we wanted to do.
So very excited. This is coming to you very, very soon, a brand new way to onboard new podcasts. If you're an existing podcaster or a brand new podcaster, we're going to have a single link click to get you in, get you started, get you going quickly. And I'm really, really, really excited about bringing this piece of just making it easy to get on. And get a new start, a new show started at Blueberry. So also, if you're going to be at Podcast Movement, come on by the booth. And we'll get you set up with a free count right there in the booth. 30 seconds, we can get you signed up and get it. And we're going to give a great, great free trial at Podcast Movement. So if you come see us at Podcast Movement, come see us. We're not going to give you 30 days free. We're not going to give you 60 days free. We're going to give you 90 days free by coming to see us at Podcast Movement. Come to the booth and we'll give you 90 days free hosting just by stopping by and seeing us on a new show. So existing customers, sorry, you still get 30. But I think so. I don't know. Maybe it's existing customers too at the show. I'm not sure. But yeah. And if again, stop by, say hello, and you'll find us in the hallways and the bars and restaurants. And, you know, don't be afraid to say hello to Mike and I and Mackenzie and a new team member who's going to be joining us. Her name is Tara. I think, you know what Mike and I look like. And give us a shout out, grab us and say hello.
Yep.
Mike, anything else?
No, I'm looking forward to the first travel I've done 2 years, so almost 2 years. So see you in Nashville.
We'll be down in Nashville. And again, potentially recorded show from Nashville versus anything live. But Yeah. Everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of our family of listeners, part of doing business with us. I'm telling you, we got great things coming.
Oh, yeah. Wish we could talk about everything.
And for the stats, those of you that have been wanting a revamp of stats, holy crap. The revamp of stats is phenomenal. Yeah. And we've listened to all of your input, all of it. I can't say anymore because I don't want anybody stealing any of
the only thing we couldn't add was the boost button where it adds 1,000 if you click the button.
Oh, my God. We need a boost button to add 1,000 listeners for $1.99. I mean, that's not in there, but it'd be kind of cool to do that, wouldn't it? Have a boost function?
Yeah, why not?
So, all right, everyone. Thanks for being here. And we'll be back with another non-live show next week. We're going to take care of you. See you next time. Bye-bye.